on page 14. After Habakkuk described the Vesuah as the strangeness of the generation, how odd the generation is. Muzar hu hador hazeh. Thank you. How odd, how strange the generation is. It is filled with such contradictions that whereas in the past, generally in the past, there was an abandonment, a complete abandonment of religion, of Yiddishkeit. It meant, in every respect, and on the Makom and Mochaver, both sides of Luchas, a complete and total rejection, abandonment, not only of the rituals of Yiddishkeit, but the morals, the ethics of Ben Adam Chavero, and so on. Because in our generation, the generation of the Tchia, of preparing for Mashiach, the generation, on the one hand, is very rebellious and has turned its back on the old generation and all of the dinim, halachas, and customs, and so on. But on the other hand, Rigshach, Chesed, Yosha, Mishpat, Chemla, Oilum, Mizgarim. Oilum, Mizgarim. In terms of the second side of the Luchos, and a commitment to social welfare and tzedek and chesed and kindness and so on and so forth, the generation is unmatched in terms of its kindness and idealism. Last week we were talking about the connection that Rav Kook made between and makes many places between the idealism of the young generation and the changes that are taking place, the rapid changes that are taking place in technology and science and so on. On page 14, Rav Kook continues with dissecting the mentality of the generation, the nature of the generation. Chelek gadol min hador hatzayir, a large chelek of the young generation, enenu chosh kol kavod l'mashahurgal, doesn't feel any respect l'mashahurgal, for all of the hergelim, for all that we're accustomed to, the way that they were raised. They have no covet at all. They don't feel any covet at all. So the easiest conclusion to come to would be that they're Rishoyim. And that was the conclusion that was reached by many of the elders. But Rav Kook explains, Labidnei Sh'upla Nafshay. The reason that they're not feeling this covet for the past is Lemanesha Upla Navshay. Not because the soul has been darkened. Not because the young generation is in a state of shiftless, that the young generation is lower than the Amcha Beis Yisrael Hashem Torah Mitzvahs. Lemon they should upla nafshai. Lemon they should nishpal may oisa hagvul. Shachoyg vahamishpat oimdimalav. Bedeya hahamainis haragila. Not because they are lower than the Deya HaHamoinis HaRegila, than the usual Deya, the usual Mahalach of the HaMoinis HaRegila, Deya HaMoinis HaRegila, of the common from person, of the multitudes of God-fearing and observant Jews. So you might think that this chelek gadol of the new generation that this Chela Gadol has abandoned the old ways due to a state of spiritual darkness, ugliness, that has separated them from the Chayk and Mishpat, the Gvul of Chayk and Mishpat, that the Hamayin Am, at least in the Rav Kook's time, was still trying to hold on to. So Rav Kook says it's just the opposite. He says, "Ki im b'neisha ola ad hamakom shelefi oisa had sivyon shehu hergal adko lahabit al yodo al achoik v'hamishpat al masoros v'hamuna bechlal al kol Torah v'kodesh al kol emes gedoy l'nitzches v'lekis hashem musagim." Rav Kook says, "It's just the opposite. Of course, l'maisa." The generation, this large piece of the generation, is in a state of shiflus. They're not putting on tefillin, they're not keeping Shabbos, they're not eating kosher, and so on. Of course they're not. L'maisa, they're in a place of shiflus. But why is that? Why is that? Again, excluding those individuals who are just taking advantage of the matzav. But bechlal, why is that? So if Cook says, it's because the young generation has ascended to the place, that according to the character of Yiddishkeit, the way that it was explained to them, the way that religion, the way that Emuna was explained to them, Shehu Hurgal, and the way that they were raised, that they were accustomed to, Adko, until this point, the brand of Yiddishkeit, the way that they were taught to be obedient to obey, Adko, to this point, Lahabit al Yodo al Hachoik v'Hamishpat, in order to see through that brand of Yiddishkeit that they were accustomed to, that they were taught to understand Chayk and Mishpat, Al HaMesoros VeHe'emuna Bechlal, the Mesorah, the traditions, and Emuna Bechlal, the way that they were taught, Al Kol Torah VeKodesh, and what they were taught regarding all that is pure and all that is holy, Al kol emes gedola nitzchis velokis asher b'musagim, and the way that they were taught to understand the great eternal and godly truth, and all of the concepts of Yiddishkeit, umemne miyut ha'avayde b'talmudam, shali yisayde ha'regesh v'hadas. And because of the little that was invested in teaching them the basics of regesh, of emotion, of a Jewish feeling, vadas, and understanding, they haven't learned pnimius atar, to understand what it means to be a Jew. Shebemerchav atar, that's in the expanse of atar. Huam zav. The Sun HaKesem HaToiv, which is paraphrasing the Pasuk in Eicha, that the gold has been tarnished. The gold has been tarnished, and that which is good has become ruined and despised. Ad Shed Nidmeloi Shakol Hu Shofel, to the point that it seems to the young generation that everything is lower. Lower than its true worth, than what it's truly worth. What Rav Kook is saying is this, that we might think that the young generation is lower in its understanding, is lower in its rotzen, is lower in its idealism than the old generation. And you might think that the musagim, the concepts of Yiddishkeit of the old generation, have simply gone over the heads of the young generation. That's what we might think. What Kook is saying is adirabba. The way that the old generation explained Yiddishkeit, the way that the old generation gave over Yiddishkeit, is so beneath the Madrega, is so beneath the Madrega of the young generation, so beneath the Madrega, the feeling of Musa, of a longing for something greater, something more idealistic than what they were taught, has caused the young generation to look back at everything that they were given, at the Yiddishkeit that they were given, and to come to the conclusion that Yiddishkeit is not the answer. The Yiddishkeit that they were given is not providing them with enough to satisfy the deep longings that they have for something greater. Now, of course, Yiddishkeit has all of that. Yiddishkeit has everything. But the tzibur, this chelek gadol of Klal Yisrael, has a she'ifa, of Kook says, for greatness. He's going to talk about through the rest of the kuntras, the maimer. Has a tremendous she'ifa for godless, for pnimius, to understand what is emuna. What is Musa? And there's a tremendous longing to understand the truth. And this generation has not been given the depths of Yiddishkeit, has not been shown the deepest truth, has not been given the answers to their questions. And therefore, the beauty, the gold of the Torah has been tarnished. Till it's to the point that it seems to the young generation that everything is silly. All of these things that they do. That put your finger on the Gemara, follow along in the Gemara, and they don't see the relevance of the Gemara. They weren't taught the beauty of Gemara. They were not taught the pnimius of Torah, of what Emunah is all about, of what Yiddishkeit is really all about. So to them, it seems like simplistic and silly rituals, halachas that are completely dry and empty, and they're being told that they have to continue to go on with these hergelim. Why they should go on with these things, why they should put on tefillin, why they should keep Shabbos. So in the past, for many, many, many centuries, to a large extent, people just did those things. And however that worked, and for whatever reason that survived, we spoke about that more in the Hagdama of what changed, it wasn't working anymore. This Chela Gadol wanted to understand, why should I put on tefillin? Why should I keep Shabbos? What's the tachlis of learning? What's the tachlis of learning about? What's the tachlis of learning about the Beis Hamikdash? What's the tachlis of learning about these? Of learning the Gemara Rashi Tosis, of spending my entire life in these things. So on the surface, it would be very easy to dismiss, as most of the Gedolim did. The vast majority of Gedolim dismissed the young generation as being a bunch of rebellious and empty hooligans. Who can't be compared in any way to the Hamoin of Am Yisrael that continue to observe these traditions in a mindless, robotic way. And of course, says it's just the opposite. Even on Metzias, of course, this is a huge problem. We have to address it. That's what he does. Metzias is that they're leaving Yiddishkeit. But as far as the spiritual, emotional, ideological stature of the young generation, Rav Kook holds that they're ahead of the old generation. They're not satisfied anymore. They're not satisfied with just doing things in a mindless way. They're demanding, they want to understand. They want the truth. The way that they were explained, the way Yiddishkeit was explained to them, and the way that they were taught, what the moon is, and so on, and because of the little that was taught regarding the most basic fundamentals of regesh, of emotions and das, and of course all of this is exactly what's taking place, what's happening in our generation as well. I'm sure you've all had the experience of just trying to have a normal conversation with the yeshiva bacher. Just to articulate feelings, emotions. To be able to relate to people. And then you expect to throw him into a marriage, and all of a sudden he's going to be like this unbelievably romantic, person who's attuned to the idiosyncrasies of the female gender, when the only thing he's been doing for the last 20 years is slugging people up. and he will continue to slug up the person that he lives with in every way. As she wonders, like, what is it that's beneath the surface? What is it? Is there anything here? Is there a person to talk to? Is there somebody to relate to? Is there somebody who is able to express emotions, feelings, who has emotions or feelings? Of course, that's not Chas V'Shalom an evaluation of an entire generation. But much of what Rav Kook is talking about, of course, is continuing nowadays. It's the same thing. Like we spoke about in Eretz HaTorah, where all of Yiddishkeit is seen in such a way as V'hayah lam devar Hashem tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, zeh kan, zeh sham, kav l'kav, tzav l'tzav, a piece of this, a piece of that, do this, don't do this. It's the whole Yiddishkeit. The whole devar Hashem is kav l'kav, tzav l'tzav, zeh kan, zeh sham. There's a lotion that's found in the Zohar Kodesh regarding those who don't learn Pnimiyus HaTorah. They only learn the halachas of Torah. Mashvinan la'iraisa yabeshta. They make the Torah into something which is dry. They make it into yabosha, like dry, yabeshta, dry land. They don't introduce the Talmidim to the ocean of Yiddishkeit, to the beauty, to the depths of Yiddishkeit. And all of Yiddishkeit becomes Mashivinin La'iraisi Abeshta. This is the Torah, Rav Kook says, that was given to the generation. Now, Akasha, why is it that it worked until now that the guys kept their finger in the Gemara and he went on keeping Shabbos? And it's not working. Okay, this is the Metzius. Metzius is not working anymore. Whatever worked for a long time doesn't work anymore. So he turns, Rav Kook turns the whole thing around. Whereas the general attitude regarding the young generation was that they're empty and they're stam wild. Para Adam and they're disrespectful, and all of those things were true regarding this. On the surface, that's how it all was manifested. But beneath the surface, Rav Kook says one doesn't have to dig that deep to see that the generation is longing for the truth. The fact that the young generation is committed to so many movements and ideals and is driven to study philosophy and science, and so the older generation is condemning them for that. They should be sitting in the base medrash. Why are they running off to college? Why are they looking in all of the secular books? Why, what happened? What's the matter? They're no good. They're disrespectful and they're no good. So Fuchs says the young generation is not to blame. The old generation is to blame. And primarily the blame is on the shoulders of the leaders of the old generation, of the Talmidei Chacham of the old generation. He explains a little bit, if you look in the note on the side, when they miyut ha'avayda ha'musogim dat, mesoris, religion, tradition, emunah, and so on, nitpasam ha'yidei hador ha'tzoyer b'tzura shvela. When you talk to the generation about belief, about emunah, they associate that with something very silly, because that's how it was taught to them. They were taught fundamentalism, and it sounds to the new generation, it sounds ridiculous. Why did that work for the old generation? We don't have that problem now. There are some magidim now that are tearing their hair out because they're saying the stuff over that was said 20, 30 years ago. And the young people are not buying it. They're not interested in it. And they say, I can't understand. We were so inspired by this. We were learning these things back in the 1950s, the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, 60s, and it kept us in line. We stayed in the base medrash, and now how could it be that they're not so thrilled by this sichas musa that we just gave? Like, how come it's not working? So the answer is because these boys are no good. There's a problem with the boys. It worked for us back in 1955. We heard these shmuzim, and we had the fear of God, and we stayed in the mismatches, and we turned out to be big tzaddikim, and so on. But the new generation, there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong. Why wouldn't these sichas moser, why wouldn't these lessons that were taught regarding emunah, why weren't these lessons that succeeded with our generation, the old generation, why aren't they motivating the young generation? Why would somebody even think of spending so much time on his iPad if I'm saying such interesting schmoozen, and back in the 1950s, even though I Love Lucy was so popular, I was able to stay in the Beis Medrash despite the I Love Lucy. I was able to weather the storm. And the honeymooners, even the honeymooners, I only saw a few of them. I never told anybody, but I saw a few of them. I didn't really see all of them. Episode 56 was particularly good. So on. But I didn't see all of them. And now they can't stay off their things. I don't understand. So the Teretz is, there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong. Why isn't it doing anything? Why isn't it working? Hamusogim das mesaris v'amunin nitpasam idei hador atzir b'tzura shvela shein ma'arev is covered. The way emunah is presented to the young generation does not awaken a feeling of covered, a feeling of respect. They're learning about, we're going to see in the Aris of Mitzvah Shem, in the Aris of Tchiyah, we'll see some amazing things. They're learning all kinds of sophisticated things. They're studying all kinds of sophisticated subjects in their secular studies. They're seeing all kinds of sophisticated things, technology and so on. And I just told them the most unbelievable shmuz that changed my whole life, that when Rabbi Akiva came back, he didn't go to say hello to his wife. You want to know why?
And every time they say that, it's like they think nobody ever heard this before. We were talking about this at the Shabbos table. You want to know why? Because 2 times 12 is not 24. You never heard that, Moshe Shmuz? And don't get me wrong. I'm not Chas V'Shalom making fun, not of the Shmuz, not of the Tzadik who said it. He's Tzadik Yisod Olam. That's not the point. What's pathetic is that the ones who are getting up and saying it are still expecting the same response as back in 1960. 2 times 12 is not... So instead of saying, wow, I'm going to stay in the Beis Medrash, I'm never going to go see my wife, I'm done. Instead, nowadays the kids are saying, what's wrong with Rabbi Akiva? Like, why wouldn't he just say Good Shabbos or something like that? Why don't you stop off? And if you ask that question, so then the response is, you don't understand. 2 times 12 is not 24, it's a hefsik. It's a hefsik. 24 years of straight learning Torah is not the same thing as stopping off and saying hello to your wife. It's not the same thing. And the guy says, why not? But why can't that work out? She's alone all the years. She's a nice lady. She gave up her whole life for him. 2 times 12 is not 24. Oh. It's not the same thing. 2 times 12 is not 24. You understand? You know how deep that is? The guy says, no. I don't know how deep that is. It sounds crazy to me. Why can't he say hello? We're talking about Rabbi Akiva. You're a mechutzef? Rabbi Akiva. Who do you think you think you're talking about, yourself and your girlfriend? We're talking about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva understood that there has to be a tzifus of Torah. There has to be a hemshech of Torah. If there's going to be a hefsik, if there's going to be an interruption, this is nishkan Torah. Torah is only continuous Torah. So again, he can't say hello to his wife? I just don't know. Can you explain to me how that would be? I thought that if you say hello to your wife, it's like that's Hashem likes that. What are you talking about? What do you know? Do you know about Rabbi Akiva? You understand what that means? Torah, you understand what Torah is? How great Torah is? You know how great Torah is? The Musig of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. And I'll say over the same thing 100 times. Do you understand Rabbi Akiva? He says, no. You understand how great the Torah is? He says, no. I don't understand why he can't say hello to his wife. Because 2 times 12 is not 24. That's the nice. Rabbi Akiva had a reason for what he did. But when the young generation hears this kind of stuff, they lose respect for Torah. They lose respect. When they hear some of these kolkaris, some of these things that come out from people who are supposed to be Gdolei HaTorah, they lose respect for Yiddishkeit. The lack of sophistication, the oversimplification, I'm sorry to say, the shallowness of some of these things, the emptiness, the silliness. So it comes out. So he says, "Nitposim ayid hador hatzoy b'tzur shveila she'enema areres covered, b'tzur shveila she'enema areres covered." I remember, not this past Sima Shas, but I remember the one before. And there's an Adam Gadol, a very choshev, a precious Talmud Chacham, a big dayan from the old generation. So I don't remember where it was last time. Madison Square Garden, either there, Nassau Coliseum, one of those places. I was actually, I think, both places. But where I was sitting, so this choshev, choshev Talmud Chacham, he said it around a 45-minute pilpul.
In Yiddish.
To 15,000-20,000 people sitting there, most of whom don't understand Yiddish, women, children. He said over, and by the way, it was a great pilpul. It was a great pilpul. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. But I don't like people sitting there like waving flags, like, you know, eating Gary Nim, and he's doing this, and he's sitting there making this chiluk and that chiluk and this chiluk and that chiluk, and he's talking like he was in the Beis Medrash. So what do you expect the people to walk out with? A feeling of, like, why is that person so out of touch? Like, why is he out of touch? He had an opportunity to speak to 15,000-20,000 people. For 5-10 minutes to say something, to be ma'ir of the olam. To be mechazik the olam. And he gets up and he says a pilpul, kilo he was standing in a Beis Medrash from 100 years ago somewhere. And he's with 15 guys, his talmidim. So you could make that all into something which is very sweet, and there's something about it that I also can appreciate, because I have an appreciation for, and I have a great love for that generation and for those people. But then if you're wondering, like, what is it, why would the young generation not be turned on by this? Like, why aren't they getting all worked up about this? Why aren't they getting all excited? Why isn't that bringing them to greater heights in their Avodas Hashem? Is that like a wonder? And what are they talking about? What are you talking about? And the whole time, because I was sitting behind them, the whole time they're stooping him with cards, stop, stop, stop. I mean, the people that were running it there understood that this is bad. And each time he's going like this. He had a pilpul to say. And that would have been like the headlines of the Yiddish newspaper 100 years ago. That would have been the pilpul of the year. And there's no union of Gaiv, he's a tzaddik. But that's the world that he lives in. He's not looking, he says that there are thousands of people that don't understand a word he's saying. There are women there are kids there are teenagers that came to get some to be excited about Yiddishkeit. They're all waiting for Abish Brot to sing Ani Ma'amin. And he's standing there, he's going for 45 minutes on a pilpul. And this was going on also the last event in different ways. They toned it down, they tried, and they must have had like a lot of preparations for trying to Afal Pichen. The question is like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? So the musogim of Das Maseres Ramun and the Pasum idea that sorry the Tzur Shvela Shein Maseres Kavod. So the young generation, the way that they were taught Emuna, the way they were taught the concepts of religion, is not Maseres Kavod. It's not bringing them to a feeling of respect for religion. It's not bringing a feeling of respect. Ein ze biglal, he explains, Ein ze biglal shahador atzor hu shofel. It's not because the young generation is shofel, is low. El biglal shahador hisroim meim l'rama kazu. It's just the opposite. It's because the young generation has ascended to a level. Shemusodim elu, these concepts that they were taught, the way they were taught, b'tfisosim ha-hamonis, the way the Hamon Am, the way that the general Hamon Am understands these concepts, doichim ha-yisai, pushes away the young generation. They're turned off by it. And the Talmidei Chachamim, ba'oshmas niyut limudam b'tchumei ha-machshav ve'emunah, are to blame because of the little amount that is given, because the little amount of time that's spent learning. Because of how little they learned, we were talking about this in our Satara a lot. The Tchumi Hamachshav VeHemuna, the Talmid Chacham are not learning Emuna. They're not learning Machshav and Emuna, and even if some of them are, they're not giving it over to the young generation. They're not able to give over the basic concepts of Yiddishkeit to the new generation on a level that befits this generation. Hamaskana berov mamari harav shabik v'atsoyne b'habi migroisov mamor v'achayram. The maskan, of course, that Rav Kook reaches in all of his writings, he achova hamutelas al tamir chacham bederenu. It's not the blame of the young people. There's a responsibility that the tamir chacham have of the generation. Lumoit for themselves, first of all, that they themselves have to learn what emuna is. To learn emuna, to understand the depths of Yiddishkeit themselves. Lumoit ulavirin, so that they'll be able to explain. Bes musage ha'amuna la'omkam, to explain the musagim, the concepts of faith, la'omkam, in the deepest way. The young generation is desperate for the depths of Yiddishkeit. They're not bad. They're not trying to run away from Yiddishkeit. They're just the Yiddishkeit that they were taught. It seems silly to them. It seems shallow and simplistic. And they're learning all kinds of fancy things in school. And they're listening to music that talks about emotions and feelings and love and so on. And they're not seeing that. They're not hearing any of that.
in the Yiddishkeit that they're being taught. They're not hearing any of that. They see Yiddishkeit as something which is cold and unromantic. That's how they see Yiddishkeit. They were only taught about the time that Rabbi Akiva was away from his wife, not about the time that Rabbi Akiva was at home with his wife. That nobody talks about. It's not nice. So what's going to happen? So the young generation sees this stuff as crazy. Or it's not crazy, they see. As shallow. As simplistic and shallow. And when you have a person who does not learn, when there's a Talmid Chacham who doesn't learn the pnimius, does not learn the pnimius of Amunah, even when he gives over Mesil Sashamas, Mesil Sashamas Dharam Chal, but he's given over in such a way that it sounds totally irrelevant, it sounds silly. No, you've never seen a person like that who could take the Mesil Sashamas and make it into something silly? I grew up with people like that. They could take the deepest sefer in the world and they can make it sound like something which is silly or impossible. If it's not silly, it's something which is totally impossible, totally irrelevant, impossible. What's he talking about? Zosi ha'avoda ha'yose kedosha shalavodas ha'tara b'doroseinu eila. This is the avod of our, the most important avod of our generation. We'll talk a lot more about them. We'll do the piece in the Erzat Chiyah. It's the bottom of the page. Hador Hatzoyer, the young generation. Hador Hatzoyer Nizgadol Va'olu B'Pamachas. Suddenly, Rav Kook says, this generation Nizgadol Va'olu has matured and has risen, has ascended B'Pamachas, like all of a sudden. Something happened. Ola, in this God of Ola of Hamacha, suddenly, the Jewish people have matured. This young generation is different. Hadot, so in this God of Ola of Hamacha, why? So if Cook says, to understand this, why? He says, look, Hatzaras, page 15, Hatzaras Merkuhu. The Tzaras have refined, purified, cleansed. Tremendous, tremendous Tzaras. A Jew that goes through Yisurim, and a generation that goes through difficulties, needs to have something deeper, or else he can't go on. A person who's never had any difficulties, he could just go on living in a very, very silly and simple way. But a person who's been challenged by Yisurim, Chas V'Shalom, and Tzaras, either he just throws in the towel, he's Messiah, or he searches for something deeper. I mean, the God that worked for me before the Tzaras is not the same God that works for me after the Tzaras. The God that spoke to me when life was good doesn't speak to me anymore. So I have to find God who does. And if it's not going to be the same Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then they'll look for something else that speaks to them, that reaches them, that answers the questions that they have. They feel answers the questions they have, even though all the answers are entire. But they're not getting the answers. So they'll look for the answer someplace else. Somebody else. They have to have an answer. There must be a reason for my misery. There must be something that will inspire me to be able to continue. And if they don't find that inspiration, if they don't find the answers, the inspiration in Yiddishkeit, then they just look for it someplace else. That's a normal human thing to do. That's just what people do. You look for it someplace else. So there are many places to look. And they look for it somewhere else.
So everybody, while everybody was making fun, while the establishment was making fun and making angry faces of Rav Shlomo Kalibach, who now became, after he died, became already a big hero. But while he was alive, they were making fun of him. Certainly there were things that he did that were not halakhically acceptable, and that were unconventional, to say the least. But he had his finger on the pulse of the generation. And when he went to Berkeley, when he went to California, and he sees that thousands and thousands of young Jews are part of that whole counterculture generation that was coming up through the 50s and into the 60s, and the old generation just was writing them off. What can you do? It's fafal. They're not interested in Yiddishkeit. Shlomo gets up, he sings two or three nigunim, and he has like 5,000 of them following him to the hotel for Shabbos. And he says over to them a vart from the Svazamas, a Torah from the Izbitz. It's a little thing, something from Chabad, an idea. He's turning people inside out. And everybody's wagging their fingers saying it's matonish, it's an aveir, you're not allowed to do this, you can't do this, this is us, it's terrible what's going on, it's terrible. So then do something for the generation without hugging girls. See, maybe you could do what Shlomo does without some of the stuff he was doing back then. Not that I'm making any excuses for that. So then do something to criticize, to put down, to make fun. To understand the pnimius of the door. It wasn't that it was a door shofel, those hippies. It wasn't a shiftless. Of course it came out in terrible shiftless. Terrible. The music they were listening to, and the drugs, and well, the way of dressing, and carrying on, and so on. Woodstock. It was disgusting. But the pnimis, the songs that they were singing, they were looking for something. Shlomo understood that. They were looking for something. They were looking for dibuk chaverim. They were looking for companionship. They were looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they, whatever they saw about Yiddishkeit was in Hebrew school. What was in Hebrew school? What was in Hebrew school? What was in Hebrew school? And in the yeshivas, some shmuz that had no relevance. Someone puts this, someone looks, shows them one sentence in the Sfasemes, one sentence in the Meir Shilach, and it puts you on fire, mamish. He's thinking, I heard 4,000 shmuzen, and there's more in the one sentence in this, from the Sfasemes than the 4,000 shmuzen that I heard. In one sentence of the Sfasemes. So what's when a person goes through tzaras, that they're looking for something deeper. So Rav Kook says, Hatzaras Marku Shtafuhu. They've been washed and cleansed by the Tzaras. Now the old generation looked at the Tzaras as a punishment. That because the young generation, because the young people are Machal Shabbos, and because they're not sitting and learning, so now we're all getting punished together with them. We're being blamed because we raised these children that are not from we raised children not from, and now it's time for the 10 plagues. And whose fault is it? It's the fault of the young people. It's the fault of the young generation. We're being punished because of them. And if we're to blame for anything, is that somehow we don't know why, but we were not successful in being mechanech them. Our children are now all Mechalei Shabbos and Zionists and Bundists and socialists and various what was going on, and they're all in these things, and they don't want anything. They don't want to have anything to do with Yiddishkeit, and now we're being punished. See, did you ever see that film that they, that amazing film, piece of film that they had for Munkach in 1933 by the Chasna? It was going around everywhere. You didn't see it? They had the Minchas Elazar, Schussi went with the Minchas Elazar crying Shabbos. You must have seen that. It's Kedai. I mean, I don't know how you get that on the computer. You probably just press Munkach 1933, I guess. I'm sure it will come up. The Minchas Elazar didn't know that he was being filmed. He was very, very angry, had big hakpada, and they say that the guy, and this is what they say, the guy died afterwards, the film. He was told that they're just taping him. And could he say something to the Jews in America? It was by the big chasna. And could he tell something? See, he was saying, he was crying Shabbos. You see the Michal's Lazar's face? The Michal's Lazar speaking. In that same film, they show thousands of in Munkach, thousands of the boys and girls dancing the horror. Dancing her, making circles. You didn't see the film?
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, you could go. It's mamish right after the Minchas Elazar. It goes back and forth from the Minchas Elazar to the gymnasium, to the Minchas Elazar, the gymnasium, back and forth. The what was happening in Europe before the war. They lived in the same place. And one didn't see what the other one had to do, one with the other. There's no connection. Two different worlds. My mother comes from Munkach. There's no connection between one world and the other. They didn't understand. The young people didn't understand that the Minchas Elazar is a Kaddish. And the Minchas Elazar had things to say that there was what to hear. On the other hand, the old school wasn't listening to the young chaver of what was on their minds. What was on their minds. So you'll have the Rebbe's Haif, you have the Beis Medrash, the Rebbe's court, and then down the block, the dancing the horror. And Hitler Yamach Shemo is slowly gaining power. That's what that film is about. The Minchas Elazar, the gymnasium, and Hitler. But love. That's what it's about. All waiting to explode. And the terror is that Hitler was sent as a punishment for the gymnasium. Hitler was sent to punish the Jews who were dancing the horror. Punish the boys and girls who were looking for something, and they were idealistic, and they had this dream about returning to Eretz Yisrael. And they didn't find it in Yiddishkeit, so they found it in Zionism. And they were chalishing to go back to HSL. So then these punishments have been visited upon us. So people, so everybody's blaming everybody. The young people are blaming the old people. The old people are blaming the young people. That's what it was. Hatzaras merkush tafu nasnu loy leiv matana. Lev Matan means it's a wise heart. A person who goes through suffering, through that suffering, often is able to have a wise heart. He begins to think. Umoach hogeh, a mind that is probing, a mind that is probing, that is thinking, that's trying to understand. When you go through tzaros, yeah, Ari.
We always had
tzaros
in this generation, so why now
we're... It's a combination. Rav Kook is not saying just because of the tzaros. It's a combination of many things. Something we were talking about earlier, just b'chlal, what was happening in the world. It's a combination of many things. It's a combination of the Haskalah and the tzaros. That combination, that 1-2 punch of modernization, secularization, the ghetto opening up, and tzaros. In the past it was just tzaros. Tzaros. So people turned to God. They said more Tillim. Before the Tzaros, we only said Tillim, the whole Sefer Tillim, once a week. Now we're going to say it twice a week, and we hope it'll be better. But once the doors of the ghetto, the walls of the ghetto fell down, together with the Tzaros, that's a 1-2 punch. Forget it. That the old school didn't have what the Kaychas to contend with that. When it was just Tzaros, or if it's just the outside world, then bekoshi you could wage a war. But when you have tsaras and secularization together, that's, forget it. Without emunah, there's nothing to do. Without deep emunah, deep emunah. Not just the emunah of the Hamayin Am, deep emunah, deep understanding of Yiddishkeit, that comes to the Leiv Matana, and a moach hoige, mechadesh, a mind that is able to be mechadesh, a heart that is mechadesh. V'af, and flies. L'yuchalamud b'sheifa. This generation is no longer able to stand, to continue on in this state of simple, in this state of shiftless, in this low state of very, very, very simplistic and shallow amuna. They're not able to continue. Yeah.
The original Maskil went to the Tzaddiki Emes, the real Tzaddiki in the original generations, and they also didn't see their Emes.
Yesh v'yesh. First of all, that's a generalization. There were many big maskilim who came back, and who in this spoil. And even if they didn't return to Shemir Samis, because they were Bali Taiva, even if they didn't return to everything, they still had derech eretz for tzaddikim, for certain tzaddikim. There are many, many stories like that. But you know, that tkufa, the zelu umazeh of the tkufa of that time. It's hard for us to imagine. How is it possible for somebody to live at the time of the B'dit Shiva and not to, like how, why wouldn't that work? What else? How can you do better than that? But remember, there was a Yetzirah of Kfira. There was a Yetzirah of Kfira that was just taking off. You don't see in this parasha? It says we're holding now by this mamish between Parshas Shlach. So Chazal, so Rashi brings down that he says such a strong lashon that these rishoyim. So why is Nismucha? Why was the connection between what happened with Miriam at the end of Baloischa to the Meraglim? What's the connection? The rishoyim halalu ro that these rishoyim saw what happened when you speak lashon hara. They saw what happened to Miriam. The Miriam said something about Moshe Rabbeinu when she right away had Saras. They saw that, and they still went ahead and they were mighty Dibasaras. It's at the beginning of the parasha. The Rashi calls them Rishoyim Stralosh. Even the Banosh and the Chshuvim. So what's the Pshat? The Pshat is that there is such a thing that a person, they saw what happened. They were able to see the truth. They stood at Har Sinai. They saw what happened to Miriam. They saw their eyes. But they didn't take it to heart. There was a different kind of a tkufa. We're not masik what that was at that time, but that they saw the Baal Shem Tov, they saw the Beit Shiva, they saw the Rabbi Elimelech, they saw. And they saw also the Nisim Gluim, they were rolling all over the place. But the zelu mazeh of those first two generations, three generations of the Talmud Yabal Shem was such a ruach of kfira and such a blindness to be able to stare at the truth and not to be moved by it. It's a remarkable thing. That's an old problem. It's an old problem. That there were maskilim. That people were looking for something different. They were looking for a way out. And that's what was happening with the Dor HaMidbar, and the Meraglim did not want to go. And if you don't want to go, if you don't want to be part, for whatever reason, if you don't want to be part of that, then you can't see the truth. It's something different. It's something else. He says, but will you chalama b'sheifa? The young generation simply cannot go on in this state of shiftless, with this unsophisticated, silly presentation of Yiddishkeit. That's not what Yiddishkeit is, but that's what they were taught. Knafayim osu leruchai.
the ruach of the young generation has created wings. And he's soaring to the heights. And they haven't given him what he's looking for. He's looking to soar. The young person wants to fly. And they're not giving him what he's looking for. Me'al Yerushalayim d'lamata acharev v'ashemem v'amushpelas ad sh'ol tachtiyah es'ala v'l Yerushalayim sh'lamala yuchal yikanes. He says such a deep thing. Ke'en kesh baruch hu nichnas v'Yerushalayim sh'lamala ad sh'yikanes v'Yerushalayim sh'lamata. Just translate the words and I'll have to pick up on this next week. Me'al Yerushalayim d'lamata acharev v'ashemem v'amushpelas ad sh'ol tachtiyah es'ala. The young person has already flown to a place that's higher than the ruins of Yerushalayim, that's been the Yerushalayim, the ruins of Yerushalayim, that's Atshol Tachtia, that like they say in the Kinas, that's in the Sliches. The young person has flown to a place that's higher than the ruins of Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim Shamala Yuchalakanis, but he can't get into the Yerushalayim Shamala. Why? Because Baruch Nichnas Yerushalayim Shamala, she comes Yerushalayim Shamata. Because Baruch doesn't go in to Yerushalayim Shamala above. Until a Jew is living in the Yerushalayim Shalmata, enters into Yerushalayim Shalmata, which means the Yerushalayim Shalmata of Kedusha, of Torah Mitzvahs. So this young person is in between. Yehuda Kook is saying, I've thought a lot about this. He's in between the Yerushalayim Shalmala, as he's flying up to Yerushalayim Shalmala, and he's banging on the door to get into something higher, something greater. The Yerushalayim Shalmata to him is in ruins. The lower Yerushalayim, the old way is in ruins. Mushpelas ad tachtiyas. It's ad shol tachtiyas. The old Yerushalayim, the old way, is finished, it's ruined. Yerushalayim shalmala, he wants to go to the highest Yerushalayim. He wants to go and become dovuk to Kadosh Baruch. He doesn't know that, but he wants to rise to ascend to the highest place of Yerushalayim shalmala. He's screaming and banging to get into Yerushalayim shalmala. He looks down, the old generation, is the Yerushalayim shalmata is in ruins, but they don't let him into the Yerushalayim shalmala because he doesn't have the Yerushalayim shalmata. He doesn't put on tefillin, doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep mitzvahs. So he can't get into Yerushalayim Shalmala. And to him, the Yerushalayim Shalmata is ruined. What do you want from the guy? So if he's not allowed to Yerushalayim Shalmala, he'll go to London Shalmala, Shalmata, to New York, Paris, that's what happens. To them, Yerushalayim is ruined. The old way of Yiddishkeit, that's in ruins. Finish, Gemara. Yerushalayim Shalmata, they see this chareva shemema mushpelas. Yiddishkeit to them, the old Yerushalayim, chareva shemema mushpelas. Forget it. It's destroyed. It's ruined. It's not for me. It's not talking to me. I know that's nothing. I don't have no. I destroyed. I burned all my bridges. Mechal Shabbos, Eichnevel Streifus. I burned all my bridges. I'm a tamei. I'm a shegitz. I ruined everything. Yerushalayim Shalmata is in ruins. So the Yerushalayim Shalmala, so he's filled with idealism, with a longing for truth, with a desire to understand, with a feeling of chesed, of chemla, of tzedek, of mishpat. And where's he going to go? He can't be in Yerushalayim Shalmala anymore. That's done. Yerushalayim Shalmala, it says, you can't come in here without Shabbos. So he's in between. So what happened to them? They're stuck between Yerushalayim Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmala. So they look for someplace else. They give up Yerushalayim. Finished. It's gone. There's no more Yerushalayim. So look somewhere else. They say Yerushalayim is done. It's closed. Yerushalayim Shamat, Yerushalayim Shamal. There's nowhere else to go. Not Yerushalayim. So they find someplace else. Yerushalayim is finished. Rav Kook says that's the story of our generation. They're looking for someplace else. Yerushalayim is not open. They can't turn back to the old Yerushalayim, and the new Yerushalayim doesn't let them in. So they don't know what to do. Yeah, Dov.
Yeah, and as a result of the sea, that's why we see sometimes in Iman, we see so many people that have been saved from jails. And they have tattoos, and you see the connection that they have is so high, and the life that they lead now is so hot, so holy and pure. Once they've been pulled out of that and they have connected the bottom and the top, they're on a whole other planet.
It's like the Tanya says, a drop in the mouth of the prince. One drop in the mouth of the prince of Pnimi Satara can bring him back to life. One drop. One drop.
of Pnimi Satayr, one drop of oil, one drop of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, can bring the prince back to life. It's shocking that there's still people who are saying that they can't do that. One drop brings the prince back to life. Then you have to figure out how to get him, and he shouldn't get to jail because he was going to Tashlich, like, and, you know, he decided to be Toivel when he was doing Tashlich or something. You know, and then we have to figure out how not to get him in jail the other way. It's like, you see, to figure out he shouldn't get too crazy. But one drop in the mouth of the prince sets his heart on fire. One drop. That's all. And there's still people saying, I don't forgive the prince, not one drop. Not one drop. I'm going to just give him the same stuff. But, and it's his fault if he doesn't like my stuff. It's his fault. He's no good. Not one drop am I going to give. Not one drop. So we need to invite all of our brothers and sisters back into the Yerushalayim Shamata. But in order to bring them into Yerushalayim Shamata, you have to give them a taste of Yerushalayim Shamata. If they don't have a taste of Yerushalayim Shamata, then they're not interested in Yerushalayim Shamata. It's a chorm. Hashem's Baruch should help us that the two Yerushalayim should come together.